In 2016, Old Ellicott City's historic district in Howard County, Maryland, experienced a flood that meteorologists referred to as a thousand-year storm, meaning a storm with less than a 1% chance of happening in any given year. Two people died and millions of dollars in damage resulted from the flooding, which experts called exceptionally rare.
Ma'am, what's going on?
We are at Dean Hall in Old Ellicott City on Frederick Road. The water is above. The door is coming in the building. We need somebody to come in.
Okay, are you able to go to a higher level of the building?
We can't get up there without going outside.
Okay.
8059 Main Street.
Then in 2018, as some in Ellicott City continued to rebuild their homes and their businesses and their lives, it happened again. Another thousand-year storm. Again, with less than a 1% chance of occurring in any given year. And another person died in the floodwaters, trying to save someone else.
Howard County 911.
Yes, there are two people stuck on Tiber River, right on the river where the bridge goes across the main street. They're trying to walk through. The water's almost above their heads.
But it is Howard County that has been under the gun. And I just want to say the worst is not yet over.
1 year after that 2018 storm, Howard County has put forth a massive plan to reduce future flooding in the town. But after experiencing so much loss, how confident are residents and business owners in their government to keep them safe? This is Roughly Speaking Newsroom Edition, the flagship podcast of the Baltimore Sun, featuring stories from our city and our state that you can't get anywhere else. I'm Pamela Wood. Thank you for joining us. On today's episode, Howard County Times reporter Aaron Logan joins us with details from Ellicott City's recovery progress 1 year after the second major storm. Aaron, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Aaron, you took a trip to Main Street last week. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I went to see Sally Tennant, who has lived and worked on Main Street for about 40 years, and she owns this boutique called Discoveries, which is filled with a ton of cute products that she sells. And she's somewhat of a fixture on Main Street. Everyone knows her and loves her.
Hey, sweetie.
Hey, what's up, girl?
I was just coming to visit.
You were?
I'm not there.
I'll catch you. Yeah, do that.
Me and producer Hallie Miller went to her temporary location, which is located on Main Street. And when we got there, we were kind of surprised because she offered to take us inside her old building, which she's never done before with reporters.
Oh, it's a year later, you know, and I'm still, it's an everyday event. Nobody really knows the magnitude of, especially a store like mine. Mine was one of the worst hit this time. In 16, I mean, it was horrible, but it wasn't as bad as the 18 flood. I truly have to say I was stunned, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
So Sally said she spent thousands of hours and a lot of money recovering from the 2016 flood with the help of friends and volunteers, and things were almost back to normal.
I've lost everything. I got 17 to 18 feet of water in my building. Bad storms, climate change, whatever you want label you want to put on that, and it did not account for the level of damage you're about to see. In my building, it's that extra runoff that we've seen. Those of us who have been down here for four decades have seen this runoff increasing every year. And in particular, the past decade, but a normal rain happens, there is runoff coming from three directions that we never used to have. Horrendous.
Now, Sally's story is unique because her building houses both her residence and her business. And it was destroyed in the flood.
Down here, just watch your step. This was the garage area. This was the office that was all redone.
Oh, wow.
We still have a lot of work to do, and we have worked like dogs.
But she let me and Hallie inside of her store, and what we saw was shocking.
What you're looking at right now was something that I never thought that I would see. But in 2016, when I came in to here after the flood,
the first flood,
everything was in the store. Mm-hmm. Most things were in the store. So I figured, I knew that the Ellicott City was beginning to be uncovered, what kind of problem we were having with runoff. But I still thought that we would be able to buy a little more time in hopes that they would put enough serious mitigation into effect quick enough that if indeed it flooded, it would not be as bad. 2016 flood was as bad as it's going to get. That we might have a slight flood, or my basement might flood, since it was such an extraordinary event.
Is that rushing water that we're hearing in the background?
Yeah. Her building is located above the channel. That's the sound of the Tiber River running through the channel. And when the storm hit, a large portion of the floor just broke.
Oh, it was an amazing... And the renovation was beautiful.
From the 2016?
Yes, it was beautiful. You know, beautiful displays, you know, all brand new jewelry counters. I've had 9 of them. The store was gorgeous. New Oriental rugs on top of the oak floors. And these are the original oak floors, which were fine. They're not fine now. It was so much merchandise in here, it would make you vomit.
She was in her store right near the spot where the majority of the damage occurred. And when it started raining last May, she could tell something was really, really not right.
And I was standing right there.
Right here when the 2018 flood hit?
When the 2018 flood hit. Mm-hmm. I was standing there, mm-hmm. and I could feel the boulders and the debris that was never removed, even after 2016, slamming into these buildings, all of these buildings. I could feel it hitting in under my feet. It made me nervous. I didn't really realize what imminent danger I was in, and complete trees were coming down there, slammed through the oak flooring.
So it's something of a miracle that Sally survived.
Yes. Before the flood got really bad, she walked across Main Street in rising floodwaters. And you're not really supposed to do that. But in Sally's case, it was a good thing that she did, because within a few minutes, her basement and half of her main floor was completely submerged in water.
I was too scared to go upstairs here with all the slamming that I was hearing. Mm-hmm. So I ran through the floodwaters, and I made it just in time, because about 6 months after the flood, I looked at the timeline of photos, and when I crossed the street, it was maybe up to below my knees, probably mid-calf, and 2 minutes later, it was over 6 feet.
Taller than you.
Yes.
She had to make a quick decision, and that ended up saving her life.
So once Sally makes it back to where her shop was, what did she find inside?
Well, in the words of Jim Halcombe, a volunteer who helped her rebuild after both floods, it was like someone had taken a squeegee and just wiped everything away. Think glass, lifetime's worth of merchandise, just gone.
The 2018 flood was well beyond the scope of whatever I could have envisioned as a worst case scenario. I really did not that I wasn't being realistic that it would flood, but I thought at worst it would be the equivalent of a 2016, and since it was such an extraordinary rain event, you know, at least it was touted that way, that if indeed we did flood, it would not be as bad. There is so much debris, so many huge boulders. There were so many trees that were down that were their missiles lying in wait to destroy the next time. These are things that on the continuum, unless you do some serious interventions, it's all on one continuum to get worse and worse.
So what Sally seems to be saying is this was a disaster that was at least somewhat preventable, at least in her mind.
Yeah, and she's not really alone. A lot of people have expressed concern about past county practices and how it has exacerbated flooding. So flooding in Ellicott City is not a new thing. The town has seen more than 20 floods since its founding 250 years ago. This is partly because the town is located at the bottom of a valley next to the Patapsco River. Its location once made it a thriving mill town, but now its location is its Achilles heel. But an expert also told me that the county's past practices is also part of the picture.
What do you mean?
So soil, trees, and shrubs act as a natural stormwater management system. And back in the day, rainwater would soak into this natural greenery, and it would hold and then flow into streams and rivers, and that helped to ease flooding. But when development got more sophisticated, impervious surfaces like concrete replaced this natural greenery, and when that development was not matched well with man-made stormwater management, flooding got worse.
And what does this mean for Old Ellicott City?
Well, it kind of paints a bleak picture for the future. Development built before 1985 was under zero stormwater management regulation. That's 30% of the landmass in the watershed. And over the years, the standards changed, but by the 90s, parts of the watershed was under the 100-year standard. And an expert told me that's actually pretty high compared to a place like New Orleans, which is under the 10-year standard. But you have to remember, Ellicott City is seeing 1,000-year storms.
Now, what do residents think of the plan that's been proposed by Howard County Executive Calvin Ball?
After the first flood in 2016, the county began studying ways to ease future flooding. This was under former county executive Alan Kittleman. Former officials told me they began developing longer-term plans to fix the problem. But then the 2018 storm hit, and it was kind of a shock. And because it came so quickly, and last summer, officials and experts pulled from old studies and reports to make a new plan that could be done in a shorter amount of time. That was presented by Kittleman and former councilman John Weinstein.
And what were some of the details of this plan?
So this plan was estimated to cost $50 million. They said it would take 5 years to complete, and it required raising 10 buildings at the bottom of Main Street. So it would have left a maximum of 5.5 feet of water left on Main Street if the 2016 storm was to happen again. So it's important to remember that this plan was announced a couple months before the county executive's race. Kittleman, by the way, who is a Republican, lost to now county executive Calvin Ball, who's a Democrat. So under Ball, a new plan was put forth, and it has a lot of elements of the old plan. But how it differs is that instead of 10 buildings being torn down, only 4 buildings will be completely torn down. And Sally's building is one of the 4, by the way. Also, it calls for the backs of at least 5 buildings to be removed to help stimulate flow in the channel. They're also going to bore a tunnel on the north end of Main Street to catch the water that comes from that way. So this plan will leave 2 feet less water than Kittleman's plan, but it costs $80 million more.
And how do people feel about this proposal?
Well, it depends on who you ask. Some people are really happy the county is using tunneling to ease flooding, but others are concerned that the cost is just way too high compared to the last plan. For shop owners like Sally, though, they're all just looking to move on, and they're happy to see the county is doing something more aggressive because, after all, their lives were wrecked twice in 2 years.
Down here, it's not some abstract, arbitrary fantasy land outcome. This is a foreseen outcome. This is a predictable outcome. And our government were tasked with the duty of protecting our properties in policy and practice. And that's just not what happened. So, end result of all this, you see what I'm facing. You see the exhaustion of thousands upon thousands of hours, thousands upon thousands, a fortune. My entire life's work is right here. My entire life's work got destroyed. So, am I mad? Yeah, of course I'm mad. I'm the only one out of the 10 that were purchased that lost their real estate, and that was my retirement income for one day at some point down the road, not now, but a decade or so from now, that I was rent-free and mortgage-free. I was debt-free. So I had devised my life that way, and I had the right to keep it that way. So I'm the only one of the 10 that is giving up their home, that is giving up their real estate, and now I'm giving up my business location. I lost everything.
Sally's negotiations with the county is ongoing. She has to leave her new shop by the end of June, and she really doesn't know where she's going to go after that. The county has purchased at least 6 buildings on Lower Main Street. And by the way, we contacted a spokesman for County Executive Calvin Ball, but he was not available for an interview.
Now, how will the county pay for this proposed plan?
Okay, so what they're going to do is pay for the smaller projects that cost $5 million and less. They're going to pay for it through the capital budget. So that's bonds and from the money garnered through taxes. For the two largest projects, one retention pond located south of the Tiber River and the North Tunnel, it looks like they're going to pay for that through a public-private partnership. But nothing is set in stone yet.
And how long might it take for all this work to be completed?
Well, they say if everything goes according to plan, they will be done by mid-2025. So that's about 5 years.
Now, going back to your trip on Main Street last week, what would you say the vibe was in the community?
Well, I mean, life was going on. I mean, if you walk down Main Street and you look at one side of it, you might not know the extent of the damage, but there are visible reminders that it happened. A lot of buildings are still closed and vacant, and there are signs and windows that say EC Strong. There's also pictures of the National Guardsman who died while rescuing someone last year. For people like Sally, who twice lost everything, the damage is done. And in her words, she'll never be whole again.
Things have to change. Not just here, all over the nation. This is a particularly vulnerable, like one of the coolest places in Maryland. I mean, this place is a treasure. And I'm scraping and clawing and doing the best I can and making do with what I can. Like, I furnished that whole store, my temporary store, with donations. Thousands and thousands of hours. So to go through this and to go through it again, it's like, this is enough.
Erin, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your insight on Old Ellicott City. How can people follow your work?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Erin B. Logan and also at thebaltimoresun.com.
And that wraps up this week's Newsroom Edition. Thank you again for joining us. For more audio from the Baltimore Sun, head on over to baltimoresun.com/roughlyspeaking and be sure to check us out every Friday. And as we say each week, while times may change, the need for quality journalism doesn't. So please consider subscribing to the Baltimore Sun at baltimoresun.com/subscribe. For producers Hallie Miller and Steve Early, thanks again, and we'll see you back here next time.